Oh, we're talking about sharks. And I said, you're not supposed to say shark attack anymore. You're supposed to say shark encounter.
Yeah,
and
screw that.
I put out the full all call. Have you ever had a shark encounter? And I knew there were people out there.
Well, there are a lot of people that claim that like, here's Mark in Huntington Beach who says he's had a shark encounter. Hey, Mark, what's the story with the shark?
All right, boys. So, first of all, I know what I'm talking about. I'm a lifeguard, 25 years in Southern California.
Okay.
I'll serve in San Onofre, you know, just South Orange County.
Yep.
About a month ago, I served at Old Man's. And I saw a peak just south of there, a place called Dog Pass, right? I paddled over by myself. I'm on about an 11-foot longboard. And I caught a couple of whiz. Now, I'm not wearing a leash, mind you. Paddling back out, put my left arm in the water to paddle. And a big fish came up just on my left side of the board, right about 4 feet from my left arm. First thing went to my head, that's a big fish. Then I recognized that fish as a pretty big white shark.
Ugh.
As it turned, it looked at me, went down. The water right now is really blue out here, and it was really green about a month ago. And it just disappeared probably in about a second, right?
Okay, Mark, so, did your heart stop? Because if that happened to me, and I grew up surfing down near San Onofre, if that happened to me, I think I might have had a heart attack. What did it feel like when you realized it was a shark?
All right, it took a second, because I do fish a lot. I'm in the water, I dive a lot. It took a second to recognize. It was like, oh, big fish. Oh, shark. Oh, recognize the shark, white shark. Okay. So, I did poop my wetsuit a little bit. I ended up paddling back towards Old Man's and told a couple friends that were out, and they're like, they're local surfers down there, and they're like, yeah, we've had actually a couple resident sharks out here, a couple juveniles and a couple adults. So this shark was about 8 to 10 foot. They considered it still a juvenile shark, but the way it's pretty aggressive if you see sharks, right?
Yep.
So I ended up paddling in, talked to the guard on the beach, and they said, yeah, we've had four resident sharks. Everyone started paddling in from Old Man's, which is the main break at San Onofre. And within 5 minutes, you could see the shark in the lineup, just inside the lineup, inside the waves or the whitewashes.
Wow. That's terrible. Well, that
first
would scare
of all, Mark,
me
glad
forever.
You're okay. Yeah, I would scare the crap out of me, too. All right, thanks for that.
Thanks, man.
Here's Mike in Los Alamitos who says he's seen a shark. Hey, Mike.
So the story is I'm at Goleta Beach. I'm wading into the water slowly because the water's
this
cold.
This is for people who don't know, this is up near Santa Barbara. Yep. Go ahead, Mike.
And as I'm wading in, I feel something touching my legs and torso in the water. And I look down, and it's a bunch of little bait fish. And they're swimming past me towards the shore. And I thought to myself, why would these fish be trying to swim towards the shore? And as soon as I looked up, that's when I seen the great white passing by. It was very big. Seemed like it was big around as a 55-gallon drum, and it just slowly cruised by me with its fin only an inch or two out of the water.
Wow.
Now, were you freaked out?
I didn't really have time to be. I froze up. I tensed up. For sure I froze up. But after I realized what happened, it was a rush, a real big rush.
Oh, it was a rush.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. It would terrify me. Thanks for the call, Mike. Yeah. See, I totally believe that I would freeze up also. And John, like you, I think I might have a heart attack on the spot.
All right, let's do one more. Trevor in Laguna Beach. Hey, Trevor, have you seen a shark?
Oops, Trevor's gone.
Oh, okay.
Go to Rich in Marina Del Rey.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, guys. Playa Del Rey. I love Mason, Ireland, and I love sharks. Just wanted to tell you guys that, I surf Manhattan Beach. They're always there, and there's juveniles, just like the first guy from San Onofre said. There's a 6 to about 8 foot white sharks. It's kind of their nursery, and they're eating bottom feeders. They're eating lobsters and stuff like that.
Wait a minute. In Manhattan Beach, like near the pier?
No, I'm talking about, north side of the pier. I have a photo of that. And Mace, I just tweeted you a video of me swimming with a white tip reef shark. And
I just saw it, man. I just saw it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Every time, it's exhilarating every time. And you're pretty safe out here because, from what I know, I've surfed there all the time. The great whites out at Manhattan Beach, they're young and they're not big enough to go after a surfer. But it's still exhilarating.
It's all right. Exhilarating.
Thanks, man.
God, that is so not exhilarating.
All right, so, yeah, that's nuts. No, thank you. All right, hey, so let's do this Marc Maron story, because when I read it, I thought of you immediately.
Yes.
So the dilemma is that Mark was interviewing Billy Zabka.
And we say Mark hosts the WTF podcast, which is very, very popular, one of the most popular podcasts.
Yeah, he's had President Obama on there. He's had, like, every big actor on there. It's a very, yep. It's like top line. So he's interviewing Billy Zabka, and he tells Zabka early in the interview that he never saw Karate Kid. Now, Zabka's the bad guy in Karate Kid. He's Johnny Lawrence.
He was Johnny Lawrence, exactly.
He says, but he has been watching Cobra Kai, which is the modern-day spinoff of Karate Kid.
Which is fantastic.
And Zabka's a key part of that. But, Mace, that would be the equivalent of you getting, somebody on, getting Chevy Chase on to talk about Caddyshack, and then you tell him you've never seen Caddyshack.
Right, right. And Chevy Chase, by the way, is one of the great asses of all time.
Oh, okay, but
I did do an interview with him once. You're using him as an example. I just thought I'd pass along Chevy Chase. Wow.
So, you always want the guest to feel comfortable.
Sure.
And you always want the guest to be in an environment where they're going to give you the best stories, whatever those are. So if I was interviewing Billy Zabka, if I hadn't seen Karate Kid, I would have read up on it.
Or if you hadn't seen Cobra Kai.
Yeah, and I would read up on it, and I would say, boy, the critical reaction to Cobra Kai is similar to what it was with Karate Kid. Take me back to Karate Kid, and when you did Karate Kid, what was the aftermath like for you? I would never tell him, you know, I never saw Karate Kid. Was it good?
So you would pretend. Isn't that a lie?
No, I would do whatever it takes to make the guest feel comfortable. You and I have done this for years. We've lied to guests for years.
Yeah.
if Lindsay, well, we don't do very many guests anymore, but if she calls and says, hey, we're getting so-and-so on, okay?
Yeah.
We'll say, hey, this guy's in a great movie. This guy's in Space Jam, and Mason and I have seen it. It's great. We would say that even if we haven't seen it.
True. Even we would pretend.
Right.
By the way, you're listening to KSPN Los Angeles, KRDC Pasadena. So I'm in this situation all the time, and because I do the podcast, usually two podcasts a week, the Culture Pop podcast, and Sue Kalinske and I have guests on that, you know, have made movies and, you know, written books and all that stuff, and I'm in this situation tomorrow. So tomorrow morning we're doing a podcast with Andy Richter from the Conan Show. And he's got a new Audible book that has come out. And I am working my ass off to listen to the entire Audible book. And ultimately tomorrow, will I say I listened to the whole thing or will I say I listened to some of it? Which would you recommend? Pretend you read the whole thing?
I don't think you have to use either one of those prepositional phrases. You don't have to use some of it. Or you don't have to say all of it. You should say, I listened to the Audible book, and here's what jumped out at me.
Right.
And whatever part you listen to, you ask him about.
And just pretend.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's more polite to pretend. Lindsay, what do you think? Should you pretend that you've watched something?
I don't think you should pretend. I think you do what, like Ireland said, you leave out the details. You know what I mean? Like, you dance around the idea that you haven't seen it. You don't straight up come out and say it. But you also don't lie and say you did say you see it.
Right. Yeah, I think that's probably the right answer. I think generally speaking, I pretend, although there was one incident where I didn't pretend, and I'm trying to think what it was, and I was so embarrassed afterwards. I said, I haven't seen this, but I heard, immediately I think the guest was uncomfortable. Like I
or disappointed that you didn't think enough of his work to at least, you know, watch it or say that you watched it.
Right. So
there's a dance in Hollywood that goes on all the time.
A couple of weeks ago.
And Maron's not doing the dance.
A couple of weeks ago, Max Minghella, who's the lead in Handmaid's Tale, came on the podcast, and I've never watched Handmaid's Tale. So
did you tell him that?
No. I faked my way through the entire thing.
See, if
I
had
think was the right thing to do.
If I had him on, I would ask I don't know if you did, but I would ask, the majority of that interview would be about The Social Network.
He's great in The Social Network.
Which
yeah.
he's fantastic. Wasn't his father a really good director?
Anthony Minghella was a famous director, directed Best Picture, English Patient, and passed away way too young, but a really beloved director. But yeah, I think the right answer is to pretend. Without saying you've seen it, pretend like you've seen it and ask questions like you've seen it. I think that's the right answer. I don't think Marin did anything wrong.
No. Well, the story I sent you was he's being heavily criticized.
Yeah.
And for not doing the dance. And Zabka has come out to defend Marin. He's come out and said, look, I thought that was one of the better podcasts I've had a chance to do. I really liked it. And it doesn't bother me that he didn't watch Karate Kid.
Yeah, plus the podcast is called WTF. I mean, you kind of throw the rules out the window. No, Marin did nothing wrong. I can't believe that Marin never saw Karate Kid. That's just crazy.
Yeah, how do you get through life and never listen to Karate Kid?
I mean, isn't Marin our age? I think he's our age.
Yeah.
I mean, I grew up on those Karate Kid movies.
Yeah, it's a really, Mark is, I've been listening to that podcast for years. He auditioned for Saturday Night Live 3 times and didn't get it.
Mm.
So he brought Lorne Michaels on once to talk to him about why he didn't get it.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it was fascinating.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
It was just like really, really good. He had President Obama on there. President Obama used the N-word on Marin's podcast.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was Google.
Yeah, no, he gets all the bad people. It's like a rite of passage. You do Mark Maron's podcast.
And he does that. His studio used to be, I don't know if it still is, but it used to be in his garage.
Yeah.
People like Obama came to his house.
That's crazy. That's crazy. All right. So, John, tonight, we've got the game here on 710 ESPN.
Can't wait.
We've got game 6 of the NBA Finals. It is a must win for the Phoenix Suns to stay alive. The game is in Milwaukee.
I'm so glad you said that. I heard somebody today on ESPN who shall remain nameless say this was a must win for Milwaukee.
No, come on.
And I'm like, it's the definition of a must win for Phoenix.
Phoenix must win or it's over.
And they're
it's not
right.
a must win for Milwaukee.
And their point was that if Milwaukee lets it go back to Phoenix, the Suns will probably win. That's not a must win.
No, it's not a must win. It's must win for Phoenix. It is not must win for Milwaukee. You know, I'm fascinated by it. The series kind of boils down to this for me. It's Giannis and it's Chris Paul. It's Chris Paul and his legacy. It's Giannis and his legacy. I mean, for either one of those guys, it goes to the top of their resume. It's the one thing you need to be considered one of the all-time greats, one of the all-time greats. This is Chris Paul's moment tonight. Like, Chris Paul, I mean, Devin Booker's spectacular, and he's going to do that. Chris Paul needs to play like he did in Game 1, where he really took over the game. And Giannis, right now, I mean, scoring 30 points a game, 30 and 10 every single game, game after game after game, actually starting to make free throws despite all that, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, the
right.
thing he's got to work through. I think Giannis is Giannis already a Hall of Famer? Yeah, he's already a Hall of Famer,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, if he stopped playing today, God forbid, he would be he'd make it to the Hall of Fame.
But this may be his best and maybe even only chance to win a ring. Everything broke perfect for Giannis.
Right. I think that I don't disagree with what you've said, but here's to me what the whole series has become. In the first 2 games, the Phoenix guards dominated the Milwaukee
yes.
guards. In other words, Chris Paul and Devin Booker owned Drew Holiday and Chris Middleton.
Right.
Ever since then, in the 3 previous games, Drew Holiday is pushing Chris Paul around. Chris Paul's turning it over.
Yep.
Holiday's picking him up full court. Holiday was the better of the two in Game 5. With the game on the line, he came up with the signature play.
Yep.
I think it's an interesting defensive adjustment that Milwaukee has made, in which they leave Holiday on Chris Paul and they let PJ Tucker guard Booker sometimes. And so I think it you know, Booker, in other words, they say Booker's going to get his.
Yeah.
They think he's a great scorer, but we're going to harass Chris Paul.
Yeah.
We are going to beat him up. If Drew Holiday outplays Chris Paul again tonight, I think Milwaukee wins the series. If it goes the other way, I think we're going back to Phoenix.
Right. It really does come down to
Chris
Paul. I
think Giannis and Devin Booker are both going to get theirs. I think there's not a lot you can do to stop Giannis. There's not a lot you can do to stop Booker.
Devin Booker, right.
I think they're each going to have 30 points minimum. They're each going to play well. I think whoever wins the battle of Chris Paul, Drew Holiday, and by the way, here's an interesting thing I heard somebody say today. I'm trying to remember who, and I'd give them credit, but they were talking about how when you win a championship, there's always a signature moment or two. Giannis already has two. He's got the block in game four, and he's got the alley-oop dunk in game five.
Two signature moments.
Right, Holiday's got the big steal in game five.
Yep, strip of
Chris Paul doesn't have one yet. Maybe that comes tonight. And Chris Paul's another guy, by the way, Mace, that's going to the Hall of Fame for sure.
Oh, no question he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Absolute lock.
Yep.
So I don't think he needs to win a title to validate that career, but we always do. We always say we always talk about best players never to win a ring. Always comes up with Patrick Ewing, always comes up with Charles Barkley, and it'll come up with Chris Paul if he doesn't find a way out of this mess.
Yeah, and once you neither of these guys, you cannot guarantee either of these guys will have another chance.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think Phoenix has a really hard decision. Chris Paul has a player option at the end of this year that most people think he's going to exercise.
That's tough.
If he comes back and says, I want 3 years, you know, he's going to make $45 million, so I think he would take a little less, maybe take 3 years, $100 million.
Yeah.
Would you give Chris Paul $100 million if Drew Holiday outplays him tonight?
There's going to be so much pressure on the Phoenix Suns to bring him back.
Right. I mean, but if they lose.
The Phoenix Suns, they had basically that same roster, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton,
right,
had that same group.
Answer this specific question.
Okay.
If they lose and Drew Holiday outplays Chris Paul for the fourth straight game, do you give Chris Paul $100 million?
The realistic answer to that is no.
All right, and I got another question.
Okay.
That I think is, I'm surprised the NBA is doing it, okay?
Yep.
The NBA can assign any referees they want.
Oh, no.
To this game tonight. Literally any referees they want, which is the biggest game of Chris Paul's career. Scott Foster is the crew chief tonight.
Unbelievable.
In his
career. And Chris Paul and Scott Foster have history, and it's not good history.
Yeah. In his career, Chris Paul is 2-13 with Scott Foster refereeing.
Wow. Why would the NBA do that? They would want this to go another game.
I know.
Unless it's such a big story that Scott Foster realizes everybody is paying attention to this and following this, and he better play it straight up.
Remember, there was a lead official in the NFL.
Yes.
And the Rams were 0-8 when this guy was the crew chief. And they assigned him to that game in New Orleans, which was for a trip to the
championship
Super Bowl
game, yeah.
And it was that crew where they laid that boy out on a Waffle House frying pan.
So awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome.
Do we still I'm trying to
Nickell Robey Coleman.
And he basically, after the game, went on Instagram, and you could tell he'd been celebrating all night.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he goes, I know the question you guys all want. This is it. He goes, the question everyone's asking is, did I hit that guy before? Was that pass interference? Here's what he put out.
Obviously, I smacked his ass. You feel me? Put that boy on a Waffle House frying pan.
Then somebody went to Media Day.
That's
like my favorite athlete quote of all time.
Yeah.
Somebody went, like Carlo went to Media Day, and he did it again just for me. He goes, hey, John, since I know this is your favorite quote, here it is. And he did it. It's like, might be my favorite sports quote of all time.
Yeah. All right, so coming up next, John, there are athletes now, college athletes, that are looking for sponsorship deals. And we touched on this a couple of weeks ago, and before you were gone, and I was gone, about Keaton Slovis from the USC Trojans.
Right.
Now Johnny Juzang from UCLA is looking for sponsorship deals. And there's got to be a way that we can reach them and pay them to do a liner for the show. Isn't there a way to do that?
Yes.
Can you reach Johnny Juzang?
Well, we can get to anybody. But here's the problem.
Yeah.
What do you think they're – I mean, how much is it going to cost? Because, you know, Amanda's not giving us any money from the station.
No, God, no.
So it would it what?
Well, it's sort of ceremonial. It's sort of ceremonial. Let's talk about that coming up next. And if you've got a direct connection to Johnny Juzang or Keaton Slovis, one from each school, let us know that at Venice Mace, MASE now, at LA Ireland.
I have a question. Well, you know what? I'll hold it. I have a question. I have a way we could maybe entice them to do it.
Cool.
But I don't know if it's legal. I'll run it by you coming up.
We'll do it coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, what is going on? Thanks a lot for listening. Mason, Ireland, back together after we both had a little... What did you do yesterday, John? Was that a vacation day? Or?
Yeah. I just needed... I was going to do it on my birthday, but you were gone on my birthday.
Yeah.
And so...
What'd you do for your birthday?
Worked.
Yeah, but you celebrated last night?
No. It was something I had on the schedule I just had to take care of, and I just moved it to Monday from Thursday.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. Hope you had a good birthday.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
All right, so wait, let me ask you about this... Okay, so you said, can we get Keaton Slovis or Johnny Juzang and give them money to endorse the show?
Yes.
Okay, so my thought on this is, we have no budget, so Amanda's not going to give us any money.
Correct.
You or I would have to generate money. And we could give Keaton Slovis $1,000 to cut a promo for the show, and he might do it. But he might say, it's $1,000, I'm not doing it.
That's a lot of money.
Same thing with Juzang. Except those guys are both going pro and they're going to make millions.
But it only takes, it only takes 20 seconds to do it.
Okay, but here's the thing. What if...
Yeah.
Could we get our sponsors to give them something? In other words, I just did a commercial for Mirror Audio Video in Westwood. If we got Isaac... to give, who's right down the street from Johnny Juzang in Westwood.
Yeah.
If we got Isaac to give Johnny Juzang a big screen TV, and then Johnny could talk about Mason and Ireland and big screen TVs, is that legal? Or if we got John Patterson to give Keaton Slovis a Mazda that he could drive around and, is that all within the rules? I don't know.
I think it is within the rules, right? I think that's totally within the rules.
Because now I think we're cooking with gas. Now I think we're going to these guys and we're saying, hey, Johnny, we want to put a big screen in your dorm room. Just come on and talk about it and endorse the show, and you'll be Mason and Ireland will be the official show of Johnny Juzang.
Oh, I think that's a great idea.
See, that's better than money, don't you think?
Yeah, it is. And it also costs us a lot less.
And it's good publicity for whether it be Isaac and Mirror, John Patterson, or whoever we choose to involve.
Yes.
That's how I think we get this done.
I think that's a great idea. I just DM'd Keaton Slovis.
You don't? Oh, does he follow you?
Yeah, he follows me.
Okay. So what'd you say?
I said, hey, we want to give you an endorsement deal. Seriously, get back to me.
Okay, let's see what he comes back with.
Yeah, see what he comes back with, yeah.
Okay, so I've been waiting to ask you about this since I heard it this morning.
Yep.
And since we have a minute here before we Radio Tinder coming up in 20 minutes. I was shocked. How many Olympics have you covered?
So I've been at 7.
Okay, you've been to 7 Olympics.
Yep.
And then I think you've even done a couple where you would you do them from the States.
Yeah, China I did from New York. Okay. So, yeah, I count that as doing the Olympics, but okay. I've been to 7.
Okay. I was stunned when the head of the Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee came out today and said, or might have done it yesterday, and said, canceling the Olympics is not out of the question.
Whoa.
Canceling the Olympics is not out of the question. And when I started thinking about it, and tell me if you agree.
Yep.
You don't, if you're running the games, you just don't throw, this guy's name is Toshihiro Muto.
Right. Is he the president of Japan?
No, he is the chief of the 2020 organizing committee.
Okay, got it. Got it.
And it was this morning, yep. Tuesday, whenever that was in Tokyo. He has not ruled out last-minute cancellation of the Olympics as more athletes have tested positive for COVID-19 and major sponsors ditched plans to attend Friday's opening ceremony. Asked at a news conference whether the Olympics still might be canceled, Muto said he would keep an eye on infection numbers and stay in contact with other organizers if necessary. Quote, "We can't predict what will happen with the number of coronavirus cases, so we will continue discussions if there is a spike. We have agreed that based on the coronavirus situation, we will convene 5-party talks again. At this point, the virus cases may rise or fall, so we think about that when the situation arises." I can't believe he even put it on the table. Can you?
No, I can't either. And the problem with the Olympics is that half of Japan, half of the Japanese don't want it to happen.
Well, and Mace,
wildly unpopular.
80% of them are not vaccinated.
Yeah, yeah. I am serious.
Okay, so here's some numbers for you that might sway your opinion one way or the other.
Okay.
There have been 67 cases of COVID-19 in Japan among those accredited for the games since July 1st. Today is July 20th. Okay.
Yep.
So that's multiple cases a day, and I assume when they say accredited for the games, that's inside the Olympic bubble.
Right.
Their vaccinations have lagged behind. They've recorded more than 840,000 cases, 15,000 deaths in
yep.
Tokyo. 1,300 cases were recorded today.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one of the American gymnasts, the alternate, tested positive for COVID, and she's out of the games. I mean, the U.S. Olympic gymnastics team, actually, we got that coming up next. This is a really interesting subject because the impact of it is gigantic on athletes in particular. And, John, you suggested why not just slide it to next year.
Right.
I'll tell you why I don't think they should slide it to next year. Coming up next, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, a couple of things here. You probably heard Cam Akers tore his Achilles and is gone for the year for the Rams. He was going to be our lead running back. Eva for Life tweets, "Fellas, with our wide receiver depth, Cup, Jefferson, Jackson, we are going to be known as Jet Sweep City. Just need a reliable back for third and short goal line drives." It is true that we are going to be throwing the football a lot, and, you know, adding DeSean Jackson and Robert Woods, we've still got, and Van Jefferson, who's emerging, and Cooper Kupp, who's obviously probably the most reliable receiver we've got. They are going to be throwing the ball a lot, but I agree with him. I think we need a third down back to get us a yard, get us 2 yards when it matters. And Daryl Henderson is the only guy on the roster who has got any experience at running back in the National Football League.
Adrian Peterson, Le'Veon Bell, Frank Gore, all available. I hope they call one of them.
Yeah, me too. Me too. One other thing, Jake Fisher, is he a legit guy? He's got a blue check mark.
Okay.
Bleacher Report. Reporting, "I don't expect Dennis Schroeder to be a Laker after this offseason. Lakers will have S&T opportunities, sign and trade opportunities," which is interesting. I think the average Laker fan probably doesn't want to see Dennis Schroeder back.
I wouldn't put any stock in anything until the wheels start turning.
What is that date, by the way?
August 2nd is when free agents can start being signed.
Wow, that's going to be huge.
And that's soon. That's in two weeks.
Yeah, it's coming up, 2 weeks. Yeah. It all moves really fast now. The draft is like next week, and then free agency opens up the following week.
And we'll start, and some of these sign and trades are going to happen before the draft. There's going to be trades around draft time.
Yes.
You'll start to, start to figure that out. All
right, so we're talking about the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I'm a huge fan of the Olympics. I will watch every minute possible. Because I'm just a junkie for the Olympics. And the thing that makes the Olympics to me is that there are people, human beings, who train their entire lives for just a few moments of success. That to me is the beauty of the Olympics. It is performing in that moment, being in the right now, and being able to deliver. Athletes train themselves in a way where they slowly step up their training to get ready for the Olympics. They're following a pattern, right? They're ramping themselves up so that they can perform at peak performance when they actually get to the games. This is why I'm against moving the Olympics to next year. All these athletes, and by the way, some of them may age out. They've made the team. Maybe they barely made the team. They're aging out, and somebody younger is going to beat them in next year at the trials. I don't think you can move the Olympics to next year because it's unfair to the athletes. What do you think?
Using that metric, you've already done it. You did it last year.
Correct. And so you've already stretched athletes out 1 year.
So what?
Can you really do it 2 years? A lot of these people are going to age out.
All right. As you know, the driver of the Olympics, even though the stories and what makes them great are what you talked about, the driver of the Olympics is money.
Yeah, NBC.
Well, not just NBC, but the fact
that... Well, NBC pays more than any...
Well, I've got all the numbers right in front of me.
Okay, good,
Here's how this would work. Tokyo is now under its fourth state of emergency until August 22nd.
Yep.
And I think I mentioned 71 people in the Olympic Village have already tested positive for COVID.
Yep.
Delaying the games for a year cost organizers $3 billion. But they had insurance that paid them $2.5 billion.
Right.
Roughly 60 Japanese companies, 60, spent $3 billion for 2020 sponsorship rights and another $200 million for contract extensions when the games were delayed. Toyota, which became a global Olympic sponsor for $1 billion, pulled all of its ads from Japanese TV on Monday.
Not from American TV, but from Japanese TV.
Right. Before banning spectators, Japan's expected ticket revenue was going to reach $815 million. Now,
yeah.
You talked about NBC.
Yes.
They paid $7.7 billion for a media rights deal that runs through 2032. And the network expects the games will drive a 30% jump in Peacock users. It thinks it'll
really... they're going to put a lot of stuff on the Peacock network.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Mace, my point is this. The only thing worse than making them hold the Olympics now is making them hold a failed Olympics. And already you don't have fans. Already, like, the best thing about the Olympics is... They come in as a team and they go out hand in hand. All that's canceled. They're not even marching in. I mean, it's like...
Wait a minute. Who says they're not marching? Are they not doing a parade of nations at the opening ceremonies?
If they are, they're all going to be wearing masks and there's not going to be any fans there. What kind of...
Well, there's definitely not going to be fans there, but I still think they're doing the parade of nations into the opening ceremony.
Okay, so here's... Pretend you're running the Olympics.
Okay.
Okay, your first major test is going to be Thursday, the day before the opening ceremony.
Yes.
Japan plays South Africa in soccer. All right. South Africa right now, if the game was played today, doesn't have 11 players due to the coronavirus. It's scheduled for Thursday. Panasonic, as well as Fujitsu and NEC, the main sponsors of that sport, are all out. Toyota, as I mentioned, dropped all of its ads on Monday. So right now you have no soccer game. And that's just one event. Two members of Mexico's Olympic baseball team tested positive for COVID before they even left for the hotel. And they were supposed to start this week. if you have a whole bunch of canceled games, you already have no fans.
Right.
You already have a watered-down opening and closing ceremony. Sponsors, which are the driver, are all backing out. Delay it for a year.
But you know it's a television event. The NBA went on without fans. Major League Baseball went on without fans.
Right.
That's just the reality of living in this age. So it's a shame that mom and dad can't be in the stands and your best friend and your trainer can't necessarily be there. But we did it in every other sport. Why can't we do it with the Olympics?
Because it would be better in a year. And it, like you mentioned, the Japanese people don't want it. In the Asahi newspaper, they did a poll. 68% of people said we can't pull this off. 68%. 55% saying they don't want them. They don't want the Olympics. Now think about this. Next year, if you were better positioned to hold them, you'd get your fans back. You'd get the masks off. You'd give them a year. Remember what we looked like a year ago when we were 20% vaccinated? Look at what we look like now. We're way better. Give them a year to get their act together. And by the way, it's not that big of a deal to have the winter and the summer Olympics in the same year. You and
no,
I grew up with it.
I have no problem with that. That aspect of it is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, you and I grew up with
both
it.
The winter and summer.
Why are we – well, I mean, if and tell me if you agree with this. I think the only way the president of the Olympic Organizing Committee says what he said this morning is that they're seriously considering what I'm talking about.
God,
he's watched the sponsors back out. He knows his opening event, the soccer game, is right now dead, canceled. I shouldn't even use the word dead. It's in bad taste.
Well, wait a minute. Are they ever going to play that game?
Well, no. Right now, it's still on. But if it was today, South Africa doesn't have a team. Every team is like our Olympic basketball team. They've got guys that have, you know, now Zach LaVine didn't get on the plane because he had a contract race. Bradley Beal out because he's got COVID. Every team in every sport is like that. Imagine if you could, if I gave you two choices.
Yeah.
Choice A is move forward with everything you know now. Go on Friday, 3 days from now, and roll the dice that this is not going to turn into a super spreader event that you're going to eventually have to cancel. Or buy yourself a year where you could get fans back and you get all your advertisers back and the conditions are likely to be, no guarantee, but likely to be much improved using the United States as a model. Isn't choice B better?
No, I think they're too far down the road. I think it's unfair to the 11,000 athletes who have prepared for this exact moment and ramped up their moments so they can be at peak performance when they absolutely need to be. I understand no fans is no fun, but realistically, it's a television event. It's what we watch on TV. I am absolutely certain that Friday night we will all be watching the opening ceremonies, or those that want to watch it.
Yeah, Lindsay, if it were up to you, would you cancel them and delay it for a year or move forward?
I would postpone it because who wants to see, like Mason keeps saying, it's a television event.
He's right.
Who wants to
see a
half-assed Olympics, though, where it's just thrown it's going to look like it's thrown together. You're not going to have.
Although, okay, can I give you the counter to that?
Well, wait, let me finish. In team sports, you're not going to have the complete teams in many cases because of COVID. You're not necessarily going to have the best athletes competing in every event because of COVID. Like, you know, one of the best tennis players in the world can't compete because of it. Yeah. I just think that most of the athletes, if you ask them, they'd probably rather wait and have an Olympics that they actually can all participate in.
So you don't think
it could be the big deal.
You don't think
a
gold medal at these games is legit? Do you think it's
an
asterisk gold medal?
No, that's not what I'm saying. Look, a stupid asterisk conversation. Get that out of here. Whoever says that is an idiot. I think it's just that if I'm in the Olympics, I would rather want to be there with my, if I'm a team athlete, you know, where you're playing on a team, whether it's soccer, basketball, whatever, I would rather compete on my team as a whole where everybody can be safe and we don't have to worry about COVID being a thing. And I think you're better off just pushing it down the road instead of half-assing it.
Mates, the one difference between what happened with baseball and the Dodgers winning with a less than ideal World Series and the Lakers winning with a less than ideal NBA Finals is those are annual events that produce annual income. The Olympics already is a once every 4 year event, and you can protect the income and you get your $1 billion in ticket sales back if you put it off for a year. If you put it off a year in the NBA or the Major League Baseball, you just lose the year. That's it. But the Olympics are a once every 4 year thing anyway. You protect the money if you delay it for a year now.
I think it would be a huge mistake to delay it.
Well, my gut feeling is that what you said is going to be true. I think Friday night we've got an open ceremonies and we've got these Olympics, whatever they turn out to be. I think it's. I think they're too far down the road. And they can't get out of it now.
What happens if they have to cancel it halfway through and they have to start canceling events completely?
I think you should not only plan on that, but expect it.
I would rather not see that.
I'm going to expect the best. I'm going to say most of the athletes probably have been vaccinated, hopefully have been vaccinated, and it won't become the super spreader event that some people think.
Well, they've already got 70 people in the Olympic Village to test positive in the month of July.
It's terrible.
So it's not good.
Yeah, it's not good. I still think it's happening. Still think it's happening.
All right. Probably.
Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Lins is going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Follow.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Following Lindsay on Instagram, you are really missing out at Lindsay Baseball. It's spectacular. Lindsay, what do you got going for us?
Spectacular.
Spectacular.
I like it when you describe it that way, Mace. Thanks. All right. What I've got going on is a woman took to TikTok to describe an incident on a recent flight where she caught the man sitting next to her body shaming her over a text. She read part of the conversation and presumed that it was with a significant other because the texter called the man baby and they were talking about the flight that she was on. How small is it? The partner asked over the text, referring to the plane. And he said, too small with this fat bleep next to me. Given that it was just the two of them in the row, the woman deduced that he was talking about her, but she was still able to covertly take a photo of the man's text conversation. The partner replied, tell her about keto. Yeah, she posted like the screenshot of the conversation on her TikTok video. So if you guys were sitting next to someone on a plane and they did this to you, would you say anything? Swipe left or swipe right?
Okay, so this is fascinating because, all right, mates, let's say you and I are sitting next to each other on a plane.
Yes.
And we don't know each other.
Right.
All right, and you're typing unflattering things about me to Juan.
Yes.
All right. It's not very nice of you to do what you're doing.
It is not.
But I'm the one snooping. I'm not supposed to be overlooking at your phone.
True. You're blaming it on the person that's snooping.
I think that guy needs to stay in his lane.
Well, it's a woman.
This woman needs to stay in her lane.
That's what some people replied and said, but she did make a point to say that the guy had his phone out in front of him that was
very obvious
to see. Oh,
come on, Lindsay. If you're sitting next to me and I don't know you, I have to physically look over and stare at your phone to read your text. If I'm reading your text, I'm snooping.
Well, Ireland's
and I'm
got
guilty.
An actual really good point here. It's
I'm
like
completely
it's kind
with
of
the guy.
On that lady to not be looking at somebody else's phone.
This is the equivalent, Lindsay.
She did happen to look, and they were saying the guy was texting something really mean about her, okay? So forget the part where she was snooping. She happened to look and happened to see it, and she was saying something. He was saying something really mean about her.
Right, but how can I forget the part she's snooping? Snooping is integral to this whole story. If I'm not eavesdropping on your phone, who am I to read your texts? Those are private texts that you're taking with somebody. I don't look at other people's phones on planes.
But I can't imagine sending that text knowing that the lady is right beside me. Well, he's also at fault. In other words,
well, the guy's a jerk. But I mean,
I would not. If I was sitting next to a fat ass on a plane, I would not text Juan. I'm sitting next to a fat ass on a plane.
Well, here's the thing. you shouldn't text that anyway. You're fat shaming. But here's a, but Lindsay, you're ignoring a critical element of this.
No, this I'm not, because as I explained in the video, the man is holding the phone out in front of him, which, you know, right. I guess older people tend to do. But I don't know right. if they have trouble seeing it, or he's holding it out in front of him in a way where all you have to do is glance at his at the seat back in front
of
him.
Oh, my ass, glance at the seat back. You can't. I have to read your text. That's an act of commission on my part.
Can I say both of these people are in the wrong?
Sure.
Both of them are in the wrong.
But who's but you have to pick who's more wrong. Oh, I say the person more, that snooped.
He's more in the wrong. He's more in the wrong.
No, I can assure you of this, and I even know you. If you and I are sitting next to each other on a plane and you're having a private text conversation with somebody, I promise I will not read your text.
Well, you wouldn't be able to, because I have privacy glass on my phone for that exact reason.
Oh,
because people do
Lizzie.
Snoop on planes. And, you know, the reason I put privacy glass on my phone because I
don't even
travel.
Know what that is.
It's like when it's the glass, so when basically.
So if I'm looking from
I
the side, I can't read it?
Yes, I do that because one of the times I was flying and I was watching the show from HBO called Euphoria, which happens to have a lot of, like, you know,
yes,
sex
stuff,
scenes in it.
Zendaya's in it. It's
exactly.
Really,
it's and so I was like, I don't know if there's like going to be a kid behind me, whatever. And plus, people on planes are, you know, nosy, whatever you want to call it. But it's like people's business is right there. So I put privacy glass on my phone and you wouldn't be able to see it. But that doesn't take away from the fact that, you know, the person's obviously saying something really mean about someone sitting right next to them.
Right.
That's really rude. I wouldn't do that.
I also think it's rude. I think it's more rude of the guy. I mean, when in doubt, love and kindness, man.
Yeah.
When in doubt, love and kindness.
But
don't
hey,
be writing nasty stuff about the person next to
hey,
you.
Hey,
yeah,
woman.
Who are
by
you?
The way, who this woman who's trying to cancel this guy.
He's
mind
not trying
your,
to cancel.
She is, too. She wrote a TikTok video.
She's making a TikTok. But everything doesn't lead to cancellation.
That's
it's
what
just you, this
oh,
guy's
tell
a
me, tell me that she's not trying to out this
What's
guy.
Gonna Well, he is. She is, but he's not going to be canceled. He's not going to lose his job. It's not. Not
you don't know
that.
That
element. Of course, he's not.
No,
I mean, she was crying in the video, saying how much it upset her and hurt her.
Hey, to quote the great LeVar Ball, "Stay in your lane, lady."
Oh, boy, you.
So, John, if
that line got LeVar in some trouble.
So if someone was sitting next to you on the plane and they texted something really mean about you, you would be like, "Oh, well, that's on me. That's my fault for snooping."
Yeah. I wouldn't know that they texted it because I'm not looking over reading what they're texting. It's none of my business.
Okay.
All right. Agree to disagree. What's next?
Okay, so speaking of canceled, Chrissy Teigen recently took to social media to vent about. Yeah, she was venting about being in the cancel club after her recent public bullying scandal. In an Instagram post, Teigen wrote, "Going outside sucks and it doesn't feel right. Being at home alone with my mind makes my depressed head race, but I do know I'm handling this. The way I'm handling this now isn't the right answer. I feel lost and need to find my place again. I need to snap out of this. I desperately want to communicate with you guys instead of pretending everything is okay. I'm not used to any other way." She then mentioned being in the cancel club, calling it a fascinating thing, and suggested a get-together with fellow members of the canceled community. Would you guys watch a reality TV show about people who have been canceled?
No.
That's a good question.
Swipe left. Swipe left.
What?
I mean,
Lindsay, I'd swipe right. I think I would.
You want to see OJ living in a OJ and Harvey Weinstein?
Here's what I
let's
put.
Let's make a list of five people.
Okay.
The most
I
famous canceled people.
To me, people that have been canceled, all right, in my definition of canceled is I think if you break the law and commit a felony, you should go to jail. That's OJ and Harvey Weinstein.
Right, right.
People
right.
that have been canceled are people that have made a, like Louis C.K., I don't think ever went to jail.
He's uncanceled.
Al Franken never should have been canceled, all right? But he was.
Chrissy Teigen.
Yeah, if there was a show like with these people trying to, was Kevin Spacey ever convicted of a crime?
He's being tried. He will be tried for rape.
Yeah, I think
so,
Kevin Spacey.
So he remains
put
to be
him
seen.
On the bad side.
But anybody that's been canceled for a public faux pas, something they did that, for whatever reason, we've determined is unacceptable, I would watch a show about them trying to get back into the mainstream of life. Because I think we're not letting these people back in for whatever reason.
Yeah, I mean, you know, here's the thing. Don't do mean things. Just don't do mean things. Chrissy Teigen telling little girls to off themselves. I mean,
stupid.
I don't know how you come back from that.
Right.
I mean, seriously.
Well,
how do you,
I think what she's suggesting is she can't come back from it.
Well, in time,
because people
I think
like
she,
you won't give her a break.
In time, I think she will. But I, you know, at a point when teen suicide is at an all-time high, especially among girls, to tell a teenage girl to kill herself is just outrageous, I think. And I don't believe that she's going to be canceled. In fact, I saw her do a VRBO commercial last night. She still kept her VRBO.
They ended their deal with her.
No, I saw a VRBO commercial with Chrissy Teigen last night.
Well, it must have been by mistake, because I specifically remember us having this conversation about when they took her off of their campaign.
It's cancel culture to me is fascinating, because I don't know what people expect these people to do with the rest
right,
of their
lives.
Right, but
I mean, Chrissy Teigen, first of all, it just takes time. That's all it is. It takes time. You're out of the game for a little while. Chrissy Teigen's going to be out of the game for a little. She does not need to share every thought on Twitter. I mean, that's what she's basically saying. On Instagram, she's saying, I really wish I could talk to you guys and tell you how bad I feel and all that. You know, don't be the victim-y person either. I mean, she's getting annoying. Just sit it out for a couple of months, come back, and everything's going to be fine.
Isn't her posting on Instagram, this very post, like the epitome of her talking with you guys, meaning like her followers? Like,
yes.
They are commenting on it. It's not like she's like, you know, on some deserted island somewhere.
I miss you guys. I really want to talk to you guys. I don't know any other way to live. We'll find a way, Chrissy.
I agree. She's
for a couple
ridiculous.
Of months, just lay down. You know what? It will work out for them, and it will work out for most people. Like, for example, Louis C.K., who was involved in some nasty stuff. He's going around doing stand-up still. He's still doing stand-up at certain places. And if fans want to go see him, fans can go see him. That I guess that means he's not canceled anymore.
I think he's been uncanceled.
Uncanceled. There you go. All right, there you have it. There is your radio Tinder for today. Thanks, Lindsay. Don't forget, follow her at Lindsay Baseball and Instagram coming up next for you. John, you know that racist stuff that went around after the shootout with England and...
Right, yeah, the three black players missed penalty kicks and everybody jumped all over them.
Okay. Idris Elba has come up with an idea for how to deal with this.
And he's British and he's black, so I'd be anxious to hear what he says.
And I can't tell you how good this idea is, and I think it applies to everything. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.